Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to God's Purpose Ministry, where I am Pastor Olivia Deloach, your servant leader on tonight. God bless you, beloved. It's another hot Wednesday here in the KCMO. Yes, I am still in the KCMO, and it is really, really hot. But yet, you know that what I'm going to say, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I'm excited, praise God, that I'm starting on a new book tonight. And this book is by Joseph Walker III, and it's called Reset Your Life, A New Start. Yes, beloved, reset. Tell yourself, reset. We need to push that reset button. You know how we do reset on your computers, on your phone. Reset means let's start over. Let's do something new. And that's what we need in our life. Some of us have become stagnant. Some of us are shut down. Some of us is just a win on blank screen. And we need to get that boost. We need to reset. We need to start over. We need a new beginning, praise God. So I'm excited about it. I'm not sure we'll get through this whole chapter here because it's a pretty long chapter. But if we don't, I pray, beloved, we can come back to next week or so and try to finish it out. But tonight, we just want to open up in prayer. Father God, we just thank you and praise you and give you glory because you are God. You the El Shaddai. You the more than enough. You the Jehovah Rapha. You the Eliam. You are the Balm of Gilead. You the I Am of I Am. And we just give you glory. And we ask you to search our minds, search our heart, and put the restart. Amen. That our mind, our heart, our will belongs totally to you. And we give you praise now. We give you honor because it is because you are worthy, praise God. And now let the words of the Lord fall fresh in our hearts, our mind, and our ear gates. And we bind every weapon that's been formed against us, and it shall not prosper in Jesus' name. Amen. And tonight, we're going to read about reset. The choice is now. Yes, the choice is now. I always like that now. As I had told you, a good friend of mine, and Linda, I love her. I don't know if she's listening on tonight, but she gave me the acronym for now, new opportunities waiting. So the choice is for new opportunities waiting. When? Now. Praise God. And we want to just jump in and get started on tonight because, like I said, it is a little lengthy, but I know that you'll be blessed, I'll be blessed. And the thing about this tonight, beloved, we both is going to hear it for the first time because I have not had the time to really go over it. I'm going to tell on myself, God, shame on me, shame on me, shame on me. But I do want us to take this for the next few weeks and take this journey down the reset road. Amen. For our life. Amen. That we can start some new stuff in our life. Amen. So again, you got your pad out, your electronics, or if you're old school, you get your notebook and your pen, and let's get started. And I pray for you, and I pray that you pray for me. Amen. The modern smartphone, forgive me, is a wondrous device, it is written. It would take pages to list all the things it can do, but a small list should paint a picture. And that's me. When you're talking to me, a picture is being painted in my head. I am a visual person. I'm a visual learner, and I have to see what it is that you're trying to say to me. It's a camera. It's a stopwatch. It's a photo album, video screen, song library, GPS-enabled navigator, texting device, compass, weather report, alarm clock, address book, search engine, and a voice-activated personal assistant. It even lets you know, make phone calls. Now, if you're like me, beloved, I don't know what we did before phones, but I tell you, it has become one of my best friends. I when I leave the house or leave somewhere and I don't have my phone, I feel like a foreign agent. Like, oh my goodness, can I make it? Yes, you can, beloved. Yes, you can go and do what you need to do. But I tell you, that's how dependent our phones, we have become to our phones, because like it said, it's everything to us. It's our GPS, it's our calendar, it's our alarm clock, it's our address book, it's our music, it's how we see our babies and loved ones on the pictures. I mean, it takes camera capture memories. It has become our everything. Amen. Need to do more? I don't know. It's also a store with access to software that lets you do anything from identifying to consolidation to sell your phone. They aren't kidding when they say there's an app for that. I'm telling you, beloved, there's an app for everything. I go to the app store and I'm like, oh my goodness. I mean, wow, I'm just overwhelmed. Should I get it? Should I download it? Should I not download it? It's an app. Normally, sometimes I just want to make up stuff and put it in the app store. And guess what, beloved? It is there. I tell you, it is there. How far we have come in technology. It's pretty impressive. And I like it or not, we depend on it. We do. We depend on that. So you can imagine what it feels like when our smartphone go bad. Now I tell you, now when my phone go bad and they tell me when I don't want to buy a new phone, because you know they're really expensive, the ones I want really expensive, and they say they have to mail you a phone, them 3-4 whatever days, I tell you, they seem like the longest waiting period, I tell you. Oh, it still works, sort of, but the reception in them sometimes, oh, come on. I don't think I'm going to get past this stage, because I got some stories about the phone. I'm sure you do, too. And the reception is spotty. Look, don't fool with some of these places. I'm not calling no names. But their reception is the pits. I mean, it's like they have no towers in certain places, okay? It would drop calls and sometimes lock up on me, and this will waste it all together. And you have to turn it off and restart. Listen to that. Turn it off and restart to get it working again. That's what they told me when I called into my customer service just a few days ago. I was telling them, they said, have you turned it off, Mr. Loach? Well, no, turn it off and restart it, and you should be able to do what you need to do. So now I'm learning, when it's not acting right, just turn it off. I'm not a techie, and I don't know a thing about malware or spy bots or viruses. I just know that my smartphone was no longer as smart as I needed it to be. So I went back to where I bought it, talked to someone who was a techie. I told him what was happening, and he took the phone, and he said, you need to reset it. But I reset it, I said. No, he said, you rebooted it. Listen, that may help with your immediate lockup, but it doesn't do a thing to deal with the build-up problems your phone has accumulated. So what are we talking about here? A hard reset. It's also called a factory reset. It strips the phone of all the applications and settings you've added, and everything's been slipped into it by a hacker, and restores it to the state it was when it left the factory, beloved. I was still back on the strips of the phone part. You mean I'm going to lose all my data? Just what is it? Back up, the man said. But let me ask you, are you willing to go through life with a phone that this unpredictable and that's running this badly? And I said, no. Well, are you willing to lose a few things to get it back? And I guess I am.
I thought it through for a minute, then said, on a second thought, I'm absolutely willing to do whatever it takes. Then let's do a reset. And I can guarantee you, you're like having a phone that feels brand new again. And guess what? He was right. And then we walked out there with a phone I can get excited about. See, beloved, you are so much more valuable than any smartphone or computer. As marvelous as they are, both pale in comparison with the riches inside your mind and heart, you were created by God for wonderful things. You are capable of love and friendship, of productivity and creativity. You can launch a career, start a family, improve the community, make this a better world. And ultimately, you have been chosen to participate in eternal life with its author. Come on, that's a good place to shout. But all of us get stale. All of us at one time or another find ourselves operating at less than peak capacity. Your mind is crammed with a lifetime of input, information, and experiences. And it's important that it be not just updated, but reset periodically. Romans 12:2 says this, beloved, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Unbeknownst to you, some of the information in your mind and heart has been corrupted. Come on. You've been misremembered and misrepresented. You've been mislabeled and mistranslated. You've misapplied and mismanaged. You've taken shortcuts. Come on here. And cut corners. You assigned blame and held grudges. You've done things you shouldn't have and avoid things you should have done. Like the rest of us, you have not only allowed but often welcomed the imperfections that have made operating at full capacity all but impossible. Come on. Nothing but a hard reset will realign and recalibrate your data so that you once again possess the ability to determine the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Come on here. Without a reset, your judgment will remain clouded, and you will find it difficult to distinguish between good and bad, acceptable and unacceptable, perfect and imperfect. There are levels of imperfection, degrees of disconnectedness from God. Maybe you're just not as productive as you should be, or maybe your life is a complete disarray. So many people go through this life seemingly empty, devoid of passion and purpose. You done seen it. If it's not been yourself, you know somebody. And in the house of God, we lost our passion. We lost our happy. Come on. Hey, it's not that those things don't exist within us. It's just that sometimes they need to be reignited. So many men and women feel that they're simply bystanders, sitting on the sideline, passively watching the action on the court. Maybe you fouled out. Maybe you've been injured. Perhaps you've taken too many elbows, or maybe you've just given up. Come on. Moving from the place to where you can begin to fulfill your God-given assignment is going to require what? A reset. In fact, you may already feel the Spirit tugging at you, telling you that is exactly what you need. Look inside, beloved. The process of reset begins with feeling that tug, hearing that call. So ask yourself, do you need to reset your marriage, your career, your finances, your friendships? Do you need to reset your focus? Where else in your life might you need to reset, huh? To shake off the mistakes of the past and get back in the game. Oh, that's a good place again to shout, to give him glory, to tell him thank you. It is not God's will for you to be on the sidelines. Let me say that again. It is not God's will for you to be on the sidelines, bruised and battered. Yes, you may have been through some tough times. You may have had more than your share of pain and heartache, but it's how you react to such situation that is key. Remaining a victim, wallowing in self-pity, succumbing to empathy, these are not solutions, beloved. They lead nowhere. I don't want to minimize what you've been through, but there is a time for crying and a time for action. Tears and sweat are a lot alike. Both are comprised with water and salt. But while tears will earn you sympathy, sweat will earn you success. Come on, grab that. When you reset your way of thinking about life, you will see results. Getting reset will get the bugs and virus out of your relationship. Stick with me here now. Come on, this is good. And after that, your job and your finances, it will rejuvenate every aspect of your being. Reset is not easy. Nope. But it is often necessary. And the key, once we recognize the need, is willingness. You have to be willing, beloved, to go push the reset button. So ask yourself, look in the mirror and say, ask yourself, am I willing to lose things I might regard as precious in order to gain even more? That's somewhere to stop and pause. Stop and pause, stop and pause. Are you willing? Are you willing to lose something? Are you willing to give up something to get and gain something greater? Life is about choices, beloved. Each of us will face that moment when the choice is to reset or stay where we are. And the decisions we make now will affect the rest of our lives. That's deep. We review some of the situations that give us trouble in school, jobs, and relationships. And the question now becomes this: do I have the courage to step out from the shadows of the situation and into the light of reset? Let me ask this question again, not only for you to hear, but for I'm to hear. Do I, come on, say to yourself, do I have the courage to step out from the shadows of those situations and into the light of reset? But what about the great fear that the hard reset will cause you to lose data in the form of people, places, and things you cling to, huh? That's why there are backups. If you reset to align more fully with God, he will have your back. Ooh, that's good. Rest assured that all essential knowledge is backed up in storage for God, beloved. Everything you need will be accessible. The information that is truly lost needed to be erased from your hard drive to allow you to run more efficiently and rapidly. That is the point of a reset. Most likely the lost data contribute to your data corruption and to the overload that led to your need for the reset in the first place. I could have chosen to live with a subpar phone. After all, I still had a phone and simply had to accept this capacity in great diminish that I would not be able to utilize all the functions it was capable of performing. And to this day, it still will be dropping important calls. What about you? Are you content to operate at less than capacity? Are you willing to reset? Let's look at two examples set in the Old Testament, and I hope I'll be able to get to these. Esther, oh, I love Esther, who answered the call to reset in the face of pressure and would have solved many of us. And also Hosea, I love to read about Hosea, who emphasize God's love, even for those for us for whom we set its halting process and who demonstrate the riches available for us to relationship with him. Let's start with Esther. I don't know if we're going to get through Esther, but I definitely know we won't get through the book of Hosea. But Esther, chapter 4, dealing with verse 14. Come on, write that down. Go back and read it later. The choice to reset is yours. No one can make it for you, but the consequences are never solitary. They affect not only you as an individual, but also all those who connected to you. Yes, yes, beloved. In few places in this clear of the book of Esther, Esther was an orphan raised by her cousin Mordecai, right? They were the descendants of Jews carried away by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, generations earlier. They live in Shushan, the capital city of the Persian Empire, which stretched from India to Ethiopia. The king was looking, come on, look at this, for a new queen. Huh? Come on, ladies. A beautiful young women were brought to the palace from throughout the kingdom. Listen, listen, listen. Among them was Esther, whom the Bible described as lovely and beautiful. Each of these young women was prepared for a year, and Esther was the favorite of the men, readying them for presentation to the king. Throughout, Esther concealed her Jewish background, as Mordecai had instructed her. See, her uncle, cousin, whoever he was, he told her to hide that. Meanwhile, Mordecai paced and fretted in front of the court. He need not have worried. The king said over in Esther 2 and 17, love Esther more than all the other women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. He made her his queen and made a great feast, the feaster, and that's in 2 and 18. Meanwhile, Mordecai learned about the plot by two doorkeepers to kill the king, and he told Esther, who informed the king in Mordecai's name, verse 22. The plot was confirmed, and both men was hanged. Now, this is a short version. This is cutting through, but you got to go back and read this. Now, long afterwards, Mordecai refused to bow down to pay homage to a prince whom the king had promoted above all others. Haman was his name. The prince was furious. He told the king that because the Jews had their own laws and they did not keep the king's laws, that's in Esther 3 and 8, they should be destroyed. The king agreed, decreeing that every Jew in the kingdom be killed and all their possessions taken. Mordecai was so inconsolable, and when Esther reached out to him, he asked that she intercede, come on now, with the king. Esther told him that no one, not even the queen, went before the king without being summoned at the risk of death. But Mordecai said this in Esther 4, verse 13 and 14. Do you think, come on, tell somebody or tell yourself, do you think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews? For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Huh? Yet, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Think of all that had just been dropped on Esther's lap. Think about it. She was a young Jewish woman thrown in a courtly world, trained to speak, think, and act like a queen of a great empire. And yet she had hidden her true nature from all of those in the court, that the many hid their Christianity. That's the way many of us hide Christianity, when we're with people that we think that make fun of it, or treat us some type of way, or treat us lesser. Now, she faced a huge decision. Come on, I tell you these decisions here. She had a position, ease, and comfort. Yeah, Yes, she did. Remaining silent would ensure her safety. And yet the plea of the cousin, that was her cousin, Mordecai was her cousin, who had raised her, the cries of her people, God, all stirred within her. See, it's about God, beloved. It's not about you. It is about God. Praise God. Listening to the stern and speaking out could well cost Esther not just her position, but her life. Such might be a price of the reset she was being called toward. God was telling her to push the reset button. In that moment, she weighed not just the potential price, but the potential gain. She knew, too, that she had to prepare herself, and she enlisted the aid of the entire community, whose faith she might well hold in her hand. Go, she said. Come on. She had to hear God. She had to hear God, beloved, in a message she sent to Mordecai. Gather all the Jews who are present in Susa and fast for me. I need you. See, we got to have that community by us. We got to have that faith-based community. We got to have our brothers and sisters in Christ. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. Now, you know, there are some of us ain't missing no type of meal, none, not, nada. No, no. My maids and I will fast likewise, she said. And so I will go to the king with which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Okay, that's in chapter verse 16, when you hear that, if I perish, I perish. We must be prepared, beloved, for reset. And Esther is a great example of the length sometimes necessary to be fully ready. Few people take preparation as seriously as she did. And the reason is clear. She knew the consequences she faced going in. You got to know. There's so much more to learn from Esther's example. She knew enough to tap into the strength of her community. Listen, and her God. Can you go to somebody and say, come on, fast me? Can you go to your church and say, I need you in prayer, and know that they're going to do it and come through? Do you trust God enough? Huh? Few things can ensure a successful reset as working in a partnership with those you have gone before. Come on. By the simple act of telling a friend, a pastor, or a Christian colleague that your aim is to renew your spirit, your commitment will assure that there is additional strength, wisdom, and experience to draw from. Do you have that support system? Esther diligence helped prepare her mentally and spiritually for her task. And when she made herself visible to the king, come on, follow this, she found favor in his sight. He offered her whatever she wished, up to half the kingdom. Now, you know, that was saying something. Girl had it going on. It's important to note that Esther didn't simply make her plea. No, she didn't. She knew the king's character. So you got to know where you're going. You got to hear from God. Amen. What might sway him and what will not. And she knew better than to rush. She asked the king to invite the prince to the banquet, and she prepared. And at that banquet, she requested them both attend a second banquet the following night. The delay was part of God's timing, beloved. We're going to start right there. Oh, I knew we wasn't going to get through it, but that was good even unto my soul. We just thank you on tonight, and I ask you to, if this has been a blessing to you, give the number to someone else. You can drop me a line. You can drop me your questions or your encouragement at God's Purpose Ministry, Post Box 3751, Joliet, Joliet, Illinois, 60435. And if you do not know Jesus Christ, I ask you to give your life to him according to Romans 10 and 9. Ask him for forgiveness, to come in and wash you and cleanse you. And child of God, that your name can be added to the book of life. I love you in Christ, and there is nothing you can do about it. I'll pray for you. You pray for me. Be blessed the rest of the week, but not only be blessed, be a blessing. I'm your servant host, Pastor Olivia Deloach. God bless you.